think it's all right now? It's all right now, isn't it? Yes, 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 that's right. Yeah, I'm going to need a chair. Thank you. And you might say, how does this help us? Well, God has made it so, of course, that we are very much a part of our fathers and mothers. They have found it in so many different things now, in the DNA, in our, they can even trace back where our family came from. But in this process of birthing a child, we come into this world with a disposition or a temperament that is inherited, that is from the genes. Sometimes it's not just like your daddy or maybe your mother. Could be like you're like your grandmother. Could be you have a temperament like an aunt. But we have these temperaments that we are born with. And to understand them, I feel like, is a guide to help me to recognize that there are some things in me that I may not always recognize, but little by little, I begin to see them and recognize there's some things I need to change. And not only this, but I have to tell you, this has helped me working with other people. When it doesn't, we are a, thank you. Thank you, sir. We are a people that are prone to do anything. As we have said before, many of these murders that we've had where they've lined up children or they lined up people have been those who have been isolated people. They just haven't fit. They just haven't had relationships, even sometimes within their own family. And so it's so important. At our job, it's important. In our home, it's important. In our school, our children. These are the things that you and I have to deal with day by day. And so we want to learn what these temperaments are. Now, different authors call them different things. This one particularly, as we've been studying, they use this terms that I'm going to give you today. So let's go over some of them. See, and I'd like you to recognize which one you're under. it'll really help you. And you'll really be surprised that it just sort of comes out. It's us. So I've just learned who I am, a jack in the box. So let's look at the first one that we're going to talk about today, melancholy. Now, the melancholy person is really a very responsible person. And they have some very good emotional strengths. They're sensitive to nature, to love, art, music. They're very sensitive. They love these kind of things. They enjoy them. They're able to drink them in. They like to be logical, but they judge everything. They can judge everything. They're very logical people. They're deep thinkers that respond emotionally. So these are some of their strengths. And these are good strengths. What we need to do as we see our strengths is to be able to use them for the Lord. And to be able to recognize, these are some of the things I'm strong in. So maybe if I'm strong in art and in music, maybe that's going to be sort of the way I'll tend to go. Maybe it's in art, but it will be in very logical things, and they can judge. Now let me tell you something about judgment. Judgment is actually being able to be reason, but we have to reason with a conscience. Then you can judge. That's why many people's judgments are wrong. Let me tell you, when communism came in, he reasoned that philosophy through, and it sounded good, but he had no conscience. He didn't think about it. They don't think about it. And that's what happened. Thousands were killed. The same thing with Hitler. Hitler reasoned that what would be great would be a master race. So what he did, he was going to sort of prune the world, Europe, whatever he could conquer, and make them part of this master race. That was reasoning. And actually, we do this with cows. We do this with horses. We breed them to be naturally stronger. A horse that can race. We breed them. That's sort of a reasonable, natural thing. Well, not natural, but reasonable in the sight of those who are dealing with animals. But here, he was going to do it with men. So it means if you could be part of that master race, then you were something. But if you weren't, you were dead. Get rid of you. So you see, he's reasoning without a conscience. So he had no true judgment. So when we judge, we must recognize it is with our own reasoning, but it's with our own conscience. There's sometimes we can reason, well, I could do this, but then if we stop and think of how that's going to react to other people, we might then say, no, I'm not going to bother to do this. But then we see that in the melancholy, they have some weaknesses in their emotions. And these are the ones that I sort of feel like, Lord, that's good. If somebody through their observation and through the years of observation can sort of warn me of what some of my problems are going to be, maybe with God's help, I can get over them. One of the biggest things about melancholy people, because they're what we call introverts. Introverts are those who are sort of inward. They think more inward. They're not outgoing. They're sort of quiet people, maybe, and unassuming. So actually, they're more thinking internally. And so we see here that with this emotion, with this particular temperament, we have a tendency to be moody and gloomy and sensitive to people. That's why many times we're going to see in a little bit why the melancholy person doesn't have a lot of friends, but those that they have are very loyal. They're very loyal to them. But here we see that those that are melancholy really are rather moody and gloomy. Now, gloomy tells me, like the second thing it says there, things on the bad, they think on the things, I'm sorry, that should have been think, they think on the bad side first. They have a tendency to be pessimistic. They have a tendency to be gloomy in that sense. So you have to understand, and this, I remember when I was working in a college, and they didn't have any boys' dean. So they asked me to be dean for the boys. I slept in the girls' dorm, but I worked over there with the boys. Now, I enjoy boys. I have to tell you the truth. I really enjoy boys. I like their mischief because I'm partly mischief myself, and I enjoyed being with them. And they weren't moody. They really weren't. But my friend, she was the head. She was the dean of women. And I'm telling you, those girls were so moody, some of them. And I would go help her some weekend. She would go home. So I go over there, and there are those girls. Oh, my, you didn't hardly have to deal with some of them. And I was sitting outside one time, and one of the boys came and said, "What are those girls doing to you, Sister Schwartz?" But I recognize that this moodiness is part of a tendency of those who are melancholy, gloomy, because they have a way of being more pessimistic, looking at the bad side first. They worry about their sicknesses, maybe overly worry about them. Because, you see, being an introvert, they're thinking inwardly. So they themselves are a lot of times what they're thinking about. And whenever they get sick, it becomes a very, you know, it's difficult. Now, that happens with all of us. But the fact is, it seems like maybe they worry a little more over their sickness. They easily are depressed, but are very proud people. They're ones that you're not going to, they're sensitive enough, you're not going to catch them doing things. You know, they're very proud. So these are some of the emotionally weakness. Now, if I'm a melancholy person, I can recognize, wait a minute, maybe that's why I have my moods. And maybe that's why I'm always pessimistic. First thing I think about is the thing that is the worst. And so if we can understand this, then we can know how to deal with it. We'll go on to the next one. We're going to talk about their... you back there, hon? Anybody back there? Or did you give me something? No. Yoo-hoo. There we are. Now, moody people really have some very good points about them. They're very dependable people, very faithful. They're a loyal friend, but they don't make friends easily. They're not easy to give themselves to people. They're more closed in. They're very careful people. They want to do things right. They also have deep feelings for their friends. They really, it's just more than just a surface thing. It's just more than, well, this is my friend, I love them. They have a very deep feeling. When their friends are hurt, they feel it. You know, they just have a deep feeling. So these are some of their strong strengths in relating to others. And I like that. I love dependable people. Sometimes I'm not always dependable. So I really love dependable people. And I faithful, if you have, well, that's why people have dogs. Do you know that? Why do people have dogs? Because they are faithful. Some people love them more than their children because their children's not very faithful. Their dog is faithful. So there is something within our relationships that longs for someone to be faithful. And this is the way it is with your melancholy person. But let's go on to their weaknesses. And I know in all of us, it seems like our strengths, our weaknesses outweigh our strengths sometimes. But here, they search for perfection. And they become critical of others if others don't come up to their perfection. They like to do things right. They want to do it just careful. Fearful of what others think of them. They don't want to be rejected. They really want to keep a good appearance to people, holds things in, holds it for a while. They're not, they don't have a fuse that lights up very quickly, but when it does, they blow up. They hold it and then they blow up. They can be deeply hurt by others. That's why we say they're sensitive, and they are. They're very sensitive. You have a friend that is very sensitive, no doubt they're a melancholy. And so they are deeply hurt by others. Sometimes they can be a little hard to get along with. They don't want anyone to think different than they do. Well, I don't know, that's not in all the tendencies. But they particularly, you know, they're very strong. Now, they're not like when we talk about the caloric that's strong and will let you and try to. No, they're not like that, try to make you do. They're more or less, this is what I think, and I'm not moving from this. They're not going to fight over it, maybe, or push you, but they're going to be strong at it. And they hold things against people. You know, I have found out that in these tendencies, there are some tendencies that have problems forgiving people. Some others, you know, I never really, on the whole, ever had much trouble forgiving people. But now I know those that it takes everything. Sometimes they just can't seemingly forgive others. And this can be it within your tendency. And when we're like that, that means that I'm going to have to deal deeper with myself, harder with myself, to be able to forgive people. Let's go on to the next one we have here. Oh, wait, I'm sorry, mine's getting all bugged up here. Oh, look up there. Okay, then we see in their activities, their strength, they're perfectionists, they like detail, they finish their jobs, which we like. They're very creative, careful, many times gifted, and knows the limits they can go. They're not going to push themselves that far, but they know how far they can go. Where sanguines don't. They don't know how far to go. And they don't usually make it. Anyway, in weakness, their weakness, they cannot make decisions easily and is not practical. Sometimes they're not practical. Too careful in sharing something new, and it must be done well, or they get discouraged. Demands much of themselves. So these introverts have many good qualities, but there are some things that will hurt them that they need to overcome and hurt others. So you see, this many times, although let me explain something here. Not everybody has all of these tendencies. We can't say, well, now this person, this is what they're going, but they tend to have some of them, and they tend to be a big part of their personality. So that's what we're talking about. Now they're saying to the melancholy, they must learn to get over their critical spirit. You know, a critical spirit, it's one of the things that God doesn't love. Because he's given us so much. We have so much. Evangelists were saying they had prayed that God would make them a world evangelist. And God called them there. And they became a world evangelist. But they said, you know what happened? I got critical because I had to be in hotel rooms all the time. You see, in the midst of blessings that we think are blessings, if we're not careful, we can be critical of what God has given us. So we have to learn to be with a less critical spirit, to love to do for others, and to be more thankful. Now, there's some people that they don't really tend to want to do much for others. So that's one of the things that we have to recognize. Let's go on to the next one, the phlegmatic. The phlegmatic, you know, the phlegmatic is a very calm and dependable person. They're easy to get along with, they're cheerful, and they like peace. They're peace-loving, peace at any cost. Oh, let's stop this. They want peace. And that phlegmatic is really sort of a person that just is the nice guy. You know, he's a nice guy. But let's look at some of his weaknesses. They lack confidence in themselves. Now, sometimes it's not just because I was raised. It's some of your little tendencies that keeps you from having lack of good confidence in yourself. They, too, look at the bad side, fearful and a worrier. Now, they're cheerful on the outside. They want peace. But within themselves, because they're introverts also, within themselves, they feel like they're not as confident and just not confident in what they're doing. And they look at the negative sides, and they're fearful and worried. And this is sometimes, you have to understand, it's part of your tendency. And when I know it's part of my tendency, then I must ask God to help me to overcome these things. And so being negative, have you ever felt like you felt good while you're negative? Negativism pushes us down. It's positive thinking that lifts us up. They're easy to compromise. They don't laugh much. And they just let things go by. Oh, that's all right. Don't bother with that. Let's let him go. He's just a child. Let him. Easy to do that. Easy to compromise. But they're very self-righteous. They're self-righteous maybe because they are a person that is calm and people like them. And they just feel like they're a little more righteous than others. So this is the phlegmatic in their emotions. How they relate to people, they're very pleased. They're pleasant to be with. Many friends, good listener. I want you to notice they are good listeners. They're peacemakers. They don't give advice unless asked. So when you find that person that just don't tell you what to do, they're probably phlegmatic. They just don't give advice. And theirs is peace at any cost. Now, those sound like and are very good tendencies. But then we see they have some weaknesses. Let's notice this. They don't get deeply involved in anything. They don't want to be involved. It takes too much out of them. They don't want to be around things like, because they might have to make decisions and they can't stand that type of thing. So they don't get involved. And sometimes they're selfish. They don't want to bother because it bothers them. Don't give easily. They sometimes are indifferent to people. Well, feel sorry for you, buddy, but, you know, indifferent to. You know, they're the kind that can watch the television and see the terrible things and say, oh, isn't that terrible, but that's it. Indifferent, let's see, their attitude of being above others. And again, we see this, the self-righteousness. And there's so many like that. It has hurt many families. The self-righteous spirit. I had a friend, and I'm being very frank with you. I had a friend that was very dear to me. He married. But in their early part of their marriage, she caught him watching pornography. She became very upset about it. And of course, she came to me and told me about it. But I recognized that he really owned up to it and asked for, I guess he asked for forgiveness. And actually, I don't think she's ever seen anything of it since then. But you know, until this day, she feels very self-righteous above him. She just cannot feel that being forgiven and not doing it anymore is something that is what God expects, but very self-righteous. And you know, this self-righteous spirit is one that God hates. He said, because there's none righteous, no, not one. So this is one of the areas they really need their help in. Now, let's look at the next one. They work well under pressure. This phlegmatic has got some very good traits. They work well under pressure. They find easy ways to do work. They're neat. They plan their work. Very stable and dependable workers. So you really like to have a phlegmatic working for you. They're really very good. But then they have some of these weaknesses. They lack motivation. They're the kind that you can give them their job. This is what you do. This is, and they have it all planned out. But then we see that they can't motivate themselves. Their motivation is what they tell them to do. They don't want to be a leader. They know when you hear somebody, oh, not me, I'm not going to be a leader. They don't have to face the conflicts. They don't want to have to go through those things and make decisions, because they can't make decisions easily. and they get discouraged, and they can discourage others. Oh, this job, you know, discouraging others from it. And they don't like change. They like the same status quo. So we see here then that in these phlegmatics, they have these particular weaknesses. And like I said, we need to be able to look at ourselves and say, okay, from what I've been reading today, I'm a phlegmatic. And I do have some of those good traits, but I also have some of those weaknesses. So what can I do to help myself? Ask Jesus to help us and begin to work on those things. And I know because I'm a sanguine, and sanguine has some very bad weaknesses. And I recognize some of them. I've lived with some of them. So I recognize them, but the Lord has helped me in some of these to try very hard to get out of it. Now here we have the choleric. These are the bosses. No, is it sanguine? Choleric. Well, I guess on the thing it must be. You want to go to the next one? Look on the part where it says sanguine, because we have to come back to choleric. It looks like, yeah. Can you see sanguine's down on the sheet?
See? Sanguine is the last one.
Yeah, sanguine's the last one. Let's look at that because it's here on the thing. Can you turn to the next one, honey? Okay. No. Wait a minute. I'm sorry. Let's go back to the choleric. I know what's wrong. I've got two different things here and I'm trying to follow. Okay. Now, I know this one very well because I'm a good part sanguine. I know what it has done. My mother was more choleric and a bit melancholic. She never understood me, and I never understood her. My mother was Welsh. They didn't like joking. Okay. Mom never liked to joke. Everything was real. Everything was what it should be. You know, she was very strong. So all of my life, we never understood each other. And it was because of my tendency. I was, so her tendency was more like this. She was very confident. My mother didn't care if it was a president of the United States, she would tell him what she thought. Yes? You know, there used to be radio broadcasts that you would talk to people. My mother's already called to Kentucky to tell the one of the Kennedys, not the one that just died, what she thought about the politics. My mother was very quick. One time she left, this back then there was a lot of fear of the communists, you know. She left home to buy Daddy some medicine. She went up into the shopping center to the drugstore. And as she was walking past, there was this group that were giving out communist literature. My mother turned around, went back to the car, and got out some of her literature. Came back on the other side, and they were standing here. She went on the other side of them, so the people got to her first. And she's giving out, here, have some literature. Don't take theirs. They're communists. Here's... That was my mother. She was very choleric. She was very confident. She was a leader. And people loved her very much, but she was a leader. She was strong-willed and determined. And always looking on the good side. Mom was pretty good about that, but not always. So you see, that's why I'm saying you may have some of these traits, but you may not have others. But usually a good choleric is looking on for opportunities. They're more in that sense of positive thinking. They're fearless and they're bold and they're self-sufficient. That's why they're leaders. And so as we go on to look at their weaknesses is what drives us up the wall sometimes. I have worked in church work for many, many years, been pastor several times, have worked with boards, have worked with church members. And I want to tell you, you can have a lot of trouble. Here, I may not be so much of a leader as a pastor, But I have one of my board members that's like this. That's caloric. And I want to tell you, they really make it hard many times on others. And people resent them at times under certain circumstances. They resent that because they don't like people when they're strong and bold and a leader type. And so they sort of have trouble with others resenting them, and they have problem with anger. They're quick to flare up. They're quick to tell you what, do this, you know. Their opinion is right. You know, that's what I remember one time I was preaching in China too, and one of my good pastors was there, and he was older, and I said to him, now remember, you're not always right. We always feel like we're right, don't you? When you say things, you feel like you're right, but you're not always right. And he came to me afterwards, he said, I never thought about that, that I wasn't always right. So actually, that's part of us sometimes. They think they're insensitive many times to the needs of others. They want to get things done. They want to get things going. They want to see things working. And so sometimes they're insensitive. And sometimes they can be very cold and unemotional. And these are some of the weaknesses. Now, these weaknesses, when they're tempered, can make a very outstanding leader. Another thing I'd like to put in here, reason why I say this, is these are what I'm talking about is primary tendencies. That means it's the one that we have the stronger. But these tendencies, we can have a little bit of sanguine with a choleric. The choleric, that's really, they say, a good leader. It's when they're choleric, strong, you know, bold, but they have the sanguine's way of getting along with people. So sometimes we have a mixture of these, but usually it's a prime. Usually it's you have a primary one. So now we see then that this is the way we have to deal with those that are calorics. Now, I love caloric people. I like to see leaders. I like to see people to get things done. Sometimes I find it a little hard to work with them because they never will give you the chance to say what you want to say. And when you're a sanguine, you want to say what you want to say. So actually, there can be some rubbing there. But anyway, in our relationships, in the strengths, their relationship, they don't expect people to do anything that they won't do. They're not lazy. They're willing to start it and go ahead, and they're really good at that. They're not easily discouraged. Things can fall apart, and they see beyond that, and they pick it up and go on. Like I said, they're strong leaders, and they're good motivators. They can get people to behind them, people to do what they want. But their weakness is they don't have much compassion, and they make decisions for others. Sometimes they're bossy and tend to hurt people. Sometimes they use people, unforgiving and domineering. So we can see how some of our leaders, why they do the things they do, because of their weaknesses. They put their power and use their weaknesses. Well, let's go on then to their activities. Of course, they're good organizers and promoters. They're decisive, they're active, they're practical, they're goal setters. They can get others to act. So you see, they have many good qualities. But then we come to the weaknesses. Overly confident with their own opinion, who forces others to agree with them, and they're hard to please. So they need to become sensitive to others. But these are many times your good leaders. But that's why I say, if we can grasp hold of this, because some of you are leaders, and if you can recognize some of the things that if God can help me, that I can work on these things with His help. I see them now, I understand them, and so I want to be able to modify them to be a better person for Jesus. And then, of course, we go on to the sanguine. The sanguine is the warm, lively, talkative, carefree, loves to enjoy, and is a good storyteller. And I've been telling stories all my life. From the time I was young, I started telling children. I work with the children. And it's only been a few years ago that I stopped. And I still like to tell good stories. You see, it's just part of the sanguine's nature. Very carefree. And my mother couldn't hardly stand that. She's a caloric. She facts, you know, strength. I've been having a lot of strength. You know, I wasn't one of those that could lead the band. But my mother, she had these qualities. And she used to say to me, "You're just like your daddy." Well, I might have been just like my daddy. But it was because she and I just couldn't mesh. She wasn't fun-loving. My mother was serious. This is serious. We do the. She wasn't fun-loving. So subsequently, mother and I had lots of misunderstandings as I was growing up. But now we do have lots of weaknesses. Now we love people. Sanguines love people. They enjoy being with them. Am I doing something again? I've got to get a better neck or something. Okay. They cry easy, and they can't understand their emotional swings. Now, sanguines really do have emotional swings. I have. I can be down, but just let me get out with the crowd, and I'm back up. Yesterday, I felt really not too good. But when I got out with them, Ethan had his little second birthday yesterday. So when we got out there, man, I just went, you know, talking and going on. And I didn't feel like it part of the time. So I understand that. You know, we have our moods. We can be just sort of our emotional swings, high, low. That's a sanguine. They're restless. You know, when I first started going over to Taiwan, and we would start having our camps. I just couldn't stand it unless we were going to have three a day. You know, and then if it had to be, it must at least be two a day. Now, while I'm doing my three a day, the rest are just driving. I recognize I push. I can't stand. I want to go. I want to do. I want to see it moving. And that's the way the sanguine is. I can get angry in a moment and gone. That's the way a sanguine is. They feel something strong, and it's in a moment it's gone. They don't hold it. They're not always truthful. I worked on that hard. In my growing up years, I worked on it. The Lord I'm very truthful, very very too much so. Someone said you don't have to tell the whole truth, but I learned that it was very easy to exaggerate for me. Very easily to maybe not tell all the, to tell, you know, what wasn't quite true when I was younger, but God has helped me on that one. And makes decisions on their feelings. Oh, Lord, help us. I've lost money making decisions on my feelings. Oh, I just have to have that. Oh, that's just, oh, I just got to get that. And I buy it. And then I hardly use it. You ever done that? That's a sanguine. Very quick to make decisions on their emotions. And so that's some of their weaknesses. And I know, I that's why I said, I'm real sanguine. Some people are mixed, but I don't know that I'm mixed. Now we have relationship, strengths of our relationship. We make friends easy, very easy. I can go out and talk to people. And like when I work with them in China, and we have our classes, and they're my friends, they miss me, you know, that kind of thing. And I respond to them. And I want to tell you this, when I do, I really feel it. I'm not hypocritical, I'm not just doing it. Most of the time, I'm not doing it just to, but I really respond to people. Very weak-willed, yes. That's why I weighed 250 pounds one time. Very weak-willed, you know? Had to have that ice cream. Had to have this, had to have that. So I know what it is. I fought that. I had to get sick for the Lord to help me. But anyhow, we can be very weak-willed. But we need approval. I have found this through my life. I didn't want money. I didn't want, all you had to say was to me was, you did very good. I remember one time a little boy, because you have lots of people that, you know, you stand at the back of the church and people, oh, nice sermon, good sermon. But somehow my heart never always took those in. But I remember one time a little boy came up to me and he said, Sister Swartz, that was a good sermon. I felt so great. When a child tell me my sermon was good, I felt good. So that's one of the things with your sanguines. They need approval. They enjoy people and then they forget them. You know, that's a problem. I know what that is. I enjoy people. I really like them, enjoy them, but I'm the worst thing about writing, worst thing about keeping in touch. You know, I just love you and leave you. Many times, you know, when I'm moving, not that I leave you, but I just don't have that something in me that can keep up the correspondence and that can keep up. It just seems like I have problems in that way. Enjoy people and then forget them. Talk too much about yourself and forget your promises. Well, I sense that sometimes, I'm sure that people feel that way. But when I preach, I'm the only one I know anything about. So if I don't tell you my experiences, I don't know who, you know, you can find illustrations, but most illustrations, they're not mine. I don't always be able to relate them the way they should, maybe. But that's a weakness. And so we talk too much. Let's look at their activities. They're enthusiastic about something. You want something, just get me, I can get enthusiastic about it. I remember one time I was asked to preach for Temperance Union. You're too young and you weren't here in America, but we had what we call, you remember them? We had what we call the Temperance Unions. And they were very strong when whiskey and those things were, you know, against the beer and the whiskey and everything. They really stood up against it. They had a big organization. So they asked me if I would speak for them. Well, I really, I thought what they were doing was good, but I really wasn't very involved in it. But when they asked me to speak for them, I was really going at it, speaking for them, and I thought to myself, I act like I know what I'm doing here. And in a way, I was so enthusiastic over it, and I really didn't have that much enthusiasm, I thought. Sanguines can get very enthusiastic over things they do. Make a good first impression, likes new plans or projects, but have trouble finishing them sometimes. Now, their weaknesses, they're not organized. Now, I have fought this all my life. I remember, you say, why are you telling us all this? Because I want you to know it's real. I want you to know I've gone through it. I understand. Not organized? I can remember every school year, I would get my notebook. New notebook, you know, new pencils, paper, all new things. And I determine I'm keeping that notebook good. I'm organizing it. I'm going to do it this year. But it was 3 weeks. I had this over here and that over there. I'm not organized, but not dependable. I feel like that's not part of me. All my life, I've been very, very dependable. But there are those who are just not dependable. Or discipline. They waste time talking. Now, that's the truth. I used to go visit some of my friends in their department, and I would talk and talk and talk, and I'd be wasting their time. But I never thought of it that way. You know, I thought we were just enjoying ourselves, but they can waste time talking. And there sometimes it's not easy to finish a project. Easily distracted and does not meet goals. That's why it's good if you have some other temperament to sort of help you in some of these areas. But I say this because the reality of it is that you have a tendency. I don't know what your tendency is. Either you're an introvert as a melancholy and a phlegmatic, or you're an extrovert, you're an outgoing person as a choleric is and as a sanguine, but you're one of those mixed with some of the others. But you have a primary one. And I think it would be well worth your while to think, which one am I? Look at them, the strengths and the weaknesses. Which one am I? Now, I'm not going to ask you today, but I think it would be good if you would take this list, decide on maybe what's your strongest tendency, see what if some of those things are your strengths, see if some of them are your weaknesses, and begin to work on them. I worked a good part of my life on being funny. When I say that, I mean being not funny. I could make a joke out of anything. I'm as serious as a heart attack. Sometimes I would get in meetings, and I'd be joking with the ones next to me until they couldn't listen. You know? I fought against that. I used to go home feeling bad about it until the Lord really helped me over it. Not that I'm all the way over, but he helped me a lot over these things. So that's what I'm saying. If you can know what your weaknesses are, if you know what your strengths are, build those strengths. If you know what your weaknesses are, work on your weaknesses. Now, if you don't have any weaknesses, God bless you. You're in a cloud. You're living in no-no land, because we all have them. God bless you this morning. Take your paper home and see who you are. And listen, it's good to know your husband. If your husband is a bossy one, learn that. Learn what you can work with him and help him. Anyway, I hope this helps you. God bless you all. Thank you so much.